Stop waiting to be discovered. I really still see people who expect a gallery to come save them, who expect a curator to come knocking at their door. I think that is one of the biggest things that holds so many artists back. This is your time to step up, show up, and put your work out there.
You're listening to The Artist Business Plan, presented by The Super Fair. This episode, co-founder James Milley speaks with curator, writer, and content creation specialist, Alicia Puig.
What is your strength? Hone in on that and use it.
Playing to your strengths, and more advice for artists at all stages of their career. That's coming up after this message.
You know that feeling when your art finally looks complete, perfectly framed and ready to hang? Well, that's exactly what Frame It Easy helps you do. They make custom framing super simple. Any size, tons of styles, and the widest selection of matte board colors that can even match directly from your artwork. Plus, you can preview it all in their 3D frame designer to make sure you've got the perfect fit. And if you're an artist selling your work, this part's huge. Frame It Easy can handle everything. Printing, framing, packaging, and shipping straight to your customers. Total done-for-you framing fulfillment, your branding included. So you can spend less time fulfilling and more time creating. Check them out at frameiteasy.com for the coolest custom framing you can find.
What is the earliest memory that you have of art? And did you realize then that you would be dedicating your life to art and to artists?
Ooh, I actually have not gotten this question, which is funny because as an interviewer and writer, I ask it to almost all of the artists that I end up featuring. In Girl Scouts, I got every single art patch that I could. And then I was always the kid that got those big art kits with the crayons and the colored pencils and all of the good stuff, Christmas gifts and birthday gifts. I was always like that kid. I always bring this up. I'm very fortunate that my mother especially was always supportive, even though she didn't quite understand what a creative career would entail long term. She let me go on and study first graphic design in school. And then when I told her that I wanted to study art history, she was like, yeah, that's cool. And then when I changed again to fine art, she was like, okay, like as long as you know what you're doing. Without that, I mean, I don't know if I would have had as much confidence really going for it in the early stages, but it definitely took a while for me to realize that, yes, this is what I was 100% going to fully dedicate myself to.
We are here today with Alicia Puig. Alicia is the CEO and co-founder of PXP Contemporary, an arts writer, co-author of the book The Complete Smartest Guide, and the guest host of the Create podcast. She has worked in the arts industry for over 10 years, both in the US and abroad. Alicia has also been on the show before, and we always love having her back. Welcome back to the show, Alicia.
Thank you so much, James. I'm excited to be back. And actually, a quick note, it's funny that you often abbreviate the podcast ABP because that's actually my initials. I go professionally by Alicia Puig, but my full name is Alicia Bonilla Puig. So I guess it's a perfect fit that I'm a guest, right?
We have ABP here on the ABP. So obviously we know you're an online powerhouse, Alicia. So you have an arm in so many different areas of the art world, websites, writing, consulting, counseling, curating, and even more. How have all these skills factored into the way that you market yourself and help others market themselves?
You know, it's funny because I never expected this to be my area of expertise. You know, it's not like I set out to become good at online marketing for art. When I started my career, I originally started as a fine artist, and then I transitioned into working in the gallery world. And each progressive job that I took, it would teach me something. And then I realized that skills that I learned in one job seemed to transfer to the next one, no matter what it was. You know, I went from gallery work to working in an auction house, but in an e-commerce and online. I mean, all these things, looking back, kind of do form somewhat of a trajectory, but at the time, it still felt like I was bouncing around all over the place. So it's funny that now, looking back, in hindsight, I'm able to see more of the trajectory and more of how it all worked together. But again, as I was going through it, I was like, what am I doing? But now it's great because I'm able to use all of that knowledge that I've culled from all these different sources to then support the book and to support all of the other projects that I'm doing. So I guess the lesson from that is really to use your strengths and to play to them. You know, I focus a lot of my marketing efforts with email mainly and social media. I ran my own social media side business for 2 years. So, you know, these are the things that I know really well, and I know that I can make them work effectively for me. So those are what I spend most of my time with. You know, I'm not going to be on a new social media platform that I don't know that well. I'm not going to try and jump into ads on, you know, something that I've never tried before. Like, it just makes sense. But I think sometimes maybe it's like shiny object syndrome where you just want to try the next big thing because everyone else is doing it. But like, emails might seem outdated to some people, but they are so important. So do not discount something like that just because everyone's on TikTok now, you know? Like, really try and use your strengths. Like, I was also interviewing an artist the other day who had a background in design. And so she can make these really beautiful graphics. And like, that's something that she can incorporate into her marketing. And that's not really my strength. I think I get by. I do enough designing that I can put together something quick that looks fine. But I definitely rely on a professional designer if I want to do something, you know, bigger. But if that's something that you know how to do, then use that. The same thing, if you're a little more extroverted, maybe your talent is that you are good at making videos where you talk to your audience directly, you share it in stories, or you're good at networking. I mean, or one thing that's also been good for me is that I also have this side career as a writer, or a parallel career, I guess I should say. And so that helps me, you know, write my captions, write interesting copy for newsletters, and I can change my tone of voice to fit also the platform that I'm using. So that is something that you definitely see in a lot of my marketing, is that I rely on my writing skills. So yeah, again, I think that's really the one thing to take away in how I market myself and how I guide others to market themselves, is like, what is your strength? Hone in on that and use it.
For any artists out there who have a job that isn't being a full-time artist and they're concerned about the switch or the partial switch to becoming more of a full-time artist, the skills that you've developed, besides literally just making art, those transfer. It's not just starting from scratch when you're doing that. I mean, that's something that I've totally discovered as well. So, Alicia, as a content creation specialist, how can artists advance their digital marketing to boost their content and sales?
My best advice for someone starting out is really to pick one, or at least to start with just one, because ideally, over time, you know, you would build up this really professional and easy to use website. You would learn a little bit about SEO, both for web and social, so that you're optimizing every funnel to bring in people to your work. You would get or become more knowledgeable about email marketing, and you would learn about how to really send great newsletters that get people to engage with your content. You would also learn about social media, and you would have at least one to two platforms that you're pretty savvy with, and you know how to engage your community in that way. But I just mentioned like five different things, right? So when you're starting,
and that's
out,
not even it.
it's almost impossible to be great at all of them at once. any of those that I mentioned can make such a big impact if you're really good at it. You know, if you're really good at social, then you can, you know, really build your audience, get followers, and those people eventually translate to buyers. If you're really good at email, you know, you can get people to convert. If you send things that are interesting, then they're going to click on them, they're going to get to your website, and eventually they're going to buy. If you have a really strong website, again, you have really nice images, if you know how to present your story, if you make it super easy for them to contact you or to buy your work directly, you're going to make sales. So all of them can work for you. You just have to focus on one. But the other side of this is actually you have to know who is your audience. Because if you don't know who your audience is, you're just going to be putting out a random message that won't literally land with anyone, or you're just kind of hoping that it will land. When if you just do the research beforehand and kind of see who's already in your orbit, you can then really target your messages to them. And that will not only help with your conversions, but it just makes everything so much more streamlined and easier for you. You know, that helps you know what kind of content to create. And it can actually even work backwards and tell you which type of marketing you should concentrate on first. You know, if your audience tends to be maybe older, then you might want to work on Facebook. If your audience is super young, then you might be on Instagram or TikTok. Or if you know your audience is really into using more desktop, then you might do email. Or, you know what I mean? It's all these things that doesn't take that much time upfront. Like if you just kind of do a little research, then it can really help you on the back end and save you time.
Absolutely. I like to say if you're doing nothing, doing anything is better than doing nothing. So start with one thing. And absolutely what you said as well, anything that you're going to be doing, it's going to be easier. It's going to be more efficient. It's going to be more effective if you know who your audience is first. One of the, I don't know, most dangerous things that an artist can have is a starving artist mentality. And I know that so many artists out there already are very business focused and they're gung-ho about taking the steps to improve their art career. But, you know, there's also so many artists that just they're thinking, oh no, I'm an artist, so I'm always going to be starving. I'm never going to succeed. So Alicia, what is the first step for an emerging artist to go from starving artist to being a smartest, as you would say, and being a thriving creative entrepreneur?
You know, actually, I want to talk about smartest for a second because so that actually comes from me and from my side, because my mom always used to call me her nerd artist growing up. So we coined the term smartest and used it for the book. And at first people were so thrown off, like, I don't understand what is this word? Like it would come up as a, you know, typo every time we tried to type it in anywhere. And we had a review of our first book. It was like one really horrible review. It's like the silliest thing. This woman made a 10-minute video about how much she hated our first book. If you really want to go watch it, it's quite funny. How do you make 10 minutes out of an 80-page book? Like she tried to get mad at us over the craziest things. And one of them was that smartest wasn't even a real word. I'm like, yes, we are aware of that. Okay, I will answer the question. I'm so glad you brought up mindset though, because I was actually going to say, I will give you two, because I will give you one mindset and one action. So my mindset one is along the lines of what you're saying. I want people to stop waiting to be discovered. I think that is one of the biggest things that holds so many artists back. I really still see people who expect a gallery to come save them, who expect a curator to come knocking at their door, who expect an email from a writer saying that, you know, they want to come feature them. And okay, yes, that does happen. That absolutely can happen. However, you have a much better chance of that happen if you are going after it yourself. So do not be afraid to pitch people. Do not be afraid to reach out to people. This is your time to step up, show up, and put your work out there. I mean, I did not get to where I am today by sitting around and waiting. I just simply did not. There were so many times where I reached out via email, where I networked in person. I mean, my book shares an example of a friend of mine went to an opening with me and he literally pushed me in front of someone so that I would go and talk to them. I was like, and you know, he pushed me. So I had no choice. I was right there in front of her and I had to say hi, you know, and start the conversation. So you really just have to get out there, because it can happen, but it's much less likely to happen unless you're putting yourself out there first. And then the action step, I think maybe is, I mean, I'm always a big like practical one. So I always say, have a nice website, have your good photography, da, da, da. But I think before that even, write down your goals for this year. I say that because for a long time, I did not do that. And when I started doing that, it made a huge difference for me. I think even if you have in your mind, you know, I want to be selling more, or I want to be making more money, you know, these ideas, you have them in your head, but when you write them down, it just really helps you plan things a lot better. And it also reminds you of things you have to do. It also helps you realize things you might not have to do or that are less important. And when you write down your goals, be very, very specific. I think that's another thing that I was also not doing for a long time. And once you start being specific, once you start writing them down and also giving yourself timelines, like ideal timelines that you would have these goals completed by, one of my goals was to be featured, to get 10 media features. 10 seemed like a huge number at the beginning of the year. It was very quiet. But then as soon as I wrote it down, I started pitching, I started reaching out to people, and they just kind of happened in a wave. Then suddenly it was like another one and another one, and podcasts and magazines and blogs. And by the end of the year, I'd beaten that goal by a lot, enough that I was like, okay, I think I'm good for a while. And I also even was able to hire on someone to help me do PR. So it takes on a life of its own when you just get really, really specific about it.
So Alicia, you have created an amazing artistic community through Create Magazine. What are some ways that artists can connect in the community and use Instagram as a networking tool?
I do get this question a lot. And first, I would like to say I am so happy that you're calling it a networking tool, because
yes,
people forget that that is actually what it can be for artists. Unfortunately, the way many artists use Instagram, it's just leading them to dealing with imposter syndrome, to fighting the comparison game, and just in general, a lot of negativity. And I know that there are a lot of bigger topics, and you know, there's politics and there's environmental issues and there's lots of other things on social media, and your life, you know, your life is also on there too if you have your personal account as well. It's hard sometimes to not let that all get intertwined, but do try and separate it. Do try and remember that at least on your separate art account, which you should have a separate art account for sure, try and remember that it's just a tool. Do not get sucked into the numbers and the likes and all that stuff that just, again, gets artists into this spiraling of negativity. It doesn't help, you know, it kind of breaks my heart to see that, because, you know, they get really sucked into it, and it takes away from all the beautiful things about art, about the creativity and about their story. So I'd say kind of three things to think about when talking about social media. Most important, use it to build your community. So that's why it kills me to see people focused so much on the numbers, because it should be about the quality of your followers and not the quantity. I will say this, it does help having 10,000, because that swipe up link is helpful. But even before that, you can easily just tell people, go to my link in bio. And sounds annoying to have to do that over and over and over again, but people get it, okay? So you can get around that until you get to 10,000. And even before that, even before 10,000, you can swipe up to product links. So make sure you get your art as products, and then you can put links that way as well. But yes, use it to build your community. Really use it to connect with like-minded people. And that will really help build you up too. You know, you'll find people that are generally interested in your art. That'll help you, help motivate you to keep going. And second, kind of along those lines, use it to also follow those who you're generally interested in. You know, being a friendly follower always works out. You know, someone who you've been following for some time might have an opportunity that comes up, and either they're not the right fit for it, or they're allowed to invite people. And if you're a friendly follower and they see your work too, they can invite you. Like, I've seen so many things come up. And actually, I was recently given a curatorial opportunity exactly because of that. I followed this curator I've been in touch with her for some time just on Instagram, never met her in person. And I invited her to do something. And then a while later, this other opportunity came up and she invited me to be a part of it too. So it's really, again, about just making these genuine connections and eventually they can really work out in your favor. And then finally, yes, you can directly reach out, DM curators, writers, galleries, whatever, brands even, if you want to do collaborations. But I will caveat that because this sometimes can be a really like a pain point for me because I am still very much, and maybe I'm old school now, which seems crazy because I'm still quite young, but I still like emails, okay? I still really prefer emails. I just think it's that extra step that you went on the website and you looked for their email and you found their name and something about them. But I understand not everyone has their email present. So if this is the only way to connect with them, just please keep it professional. Make almost like a mini letter, have a greeting, have the important work in the body of your message, tell them about your work, give them a link or tell them to look at your work on whatever platform it is and sign off in a nice way. I literally got a message yesterday recently that said, I want to sell my work. That's it. There was no links to a website. There was no links to work. I mean, they didn't even tell me I'm an artist. You know, hi, Alicia, I want to sell my work. And that means that it's left to me to infer that they looked at my gallery, they think they're a fit, that they're an artist, and that they have work that they want to sell. Like all of this information that the burden is then put on me to figure that out and to go out of my way to look at what they're doing. When in reality, if they're technically pitching me, they should be the ones who are looking up me or researching what I do and telling me why they're a good fit, not me doing the other way around. So, I mean, it's crazy to me that people think they can get away with that. That like just sending me a one-line DM is going to, that I'm going to respond positively. Like, yeah, sure. Like, no, you have to put a bit of effort, you know, especially if it's a DM, just make sure it's really clean, concise, professional. And the other reason that I caution against DMs is because the first place they're going to go to is that social profile. And unless that profile is really well done, that can actually be a detriment to you. You know, if you have a really solid website that has all of your images, that has your resume, your statement, bio, all of that all ready to go, then I would really urge you to get that curator or that person to look there first, which you can do by, of course, just adding a link, but it's easier done by email, I think. Whereas on social media, if they're jumping to your profile first, they're not going to see any of those things. Like, yeah, they'll see images, but they can't tell what's sold and not sold. They can't tell what kind of price range your work is selling unless you put that on your post directly, which some artists do, some don't. Again, they're not going to see your bio, your statement. They're not going to see all this information. And so, you know, you just kind of have to hope that they get interested enough from what you have there to continue to keep looking. So that's why I'm still kind of iffy about the DMs thing, but I get it. I get it. There are some curators that are totally cool with it. They encourage it. Try and do your best to see if the person you're reaching out to is okay with it. Otherwise, I really still recommend email. So call me old school, but that's me.
You know, if you are going to ultimately be DMing the person, keep it professional, keep it respectful, and make the job for the person you're reaching out to easy. Do that extra effort so it's plug and play for them. It's mm-hmm. easy. And all they have to do is click a link and they know exactly what you're reaching out about and you've given them the answers. That's how it's going to be best if you are DMing them. But, you know, like we're talking about, Instagram, it is a networking tool, which Alicia and I both agree on. So it's a place to be social. That's why it's called social media. So follow other people, comment on their things. Don't always make it center to you because you're going to have better results. You'll ultimately end up having more people interested in what you do if you're being social with them. Again, if the thing that you want to do to build your art career is be on a social media platform, if that's the route that you want to be going to build yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, what is one more top word of advice that you have for an artist out there who is making art their business?
Sure. So I read something recently on Instagram that I'd like to share because I think it's very appropriate to end this episode with. And it reads, consistency is harder when no one is clapping for you. You must clap for yourself during these times. You should always be your biggest fan. So to me, this brings up a few different things. First, that consistency is absolutely crucial. And I think this is very appropriate for our artists, especially those just starting out, because you are really gunning for success, whether it's through sales or you want a bigger following or whatever it is. And when you don't get that right away, it can be really frustrating. And you might think that you're on the verge of quitting, but I really encourage you to stick it out. I mean, I think another thing it brings up that is tied to that is just resilience and perseverance. So definitely try and make those some traits that are things that you bring into your practice, because it's just going to benefit you a lot if you're able to brush things off. It is, of course, hard to deal with rejections or a sale not happening or whatever it is, but if you just keep going at it, it'll eventually go your way. And then finally, having confidence in your work. Now, I think this can be a touchy subject sometimes for people because they just see maybe others promoting themselves and they think, oh, doesn't that feel icky if you're constantly saying, oh, look at me and look what I've done. But I've learned so many lessons about this because there have been instances where I just thought keeping my head down, doing the work would get me recognized. But as I mentioned earlier, you really have to be the one putting yourself out there and telling everyone else what you're doing. Otherwise, they won't know. I mean, it just, when you say it like that, it makes a lot more sense. You know, people will literally not know what's going on or what you're doing if you don't tell them. But for some reason, it's a sticking point for artists and especially women artists. So absolutely do not be afraid to share not just what you're doing, but all of your accomplishments, all of the things that you are working on, because people need to know. And I guess my last word or last piece of advice within that is that your work has value and that's something to remember. And yeah, I think those are my final parting words.
I love it. Seriously, artists out there, your work has value. Clap for yourself, even if no one else is clapping for you. Consistency is, you know, going to get you where you need to be. And just not losing faith in yourself as you keep going. Alicia, I think that's so well put. I'd like to end the class by sharing a quick quote with you all. And the quote is, whether you succeed or not is irrelevant. There is no such thing. Making your unknown known is the important thing. That is Georgia O'Keeffe. And that basically has the same sentiment as your last word of advice, Alicia. Alicia, it's been such a pleasure having you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really fun, and I love that quote too, so.
Everyone, have an awesome rest of your day, and remember to stay on top of your artist business plan, get out there, and make it happen.
Artist Business Plan Podcast is presented by The Super Fair, the widest ranging art fair in the United States. For more information on applying to The Super Fair, visit our website at thesuperfair.com. There you'll also find our full back catalog of episodes, as well as other resources to help you build your business plan. If you like what you heard, send us a message on Instagram. You can follow us at The Super Fair. Thanks for listening.